If I'm Schumer and Pelosi going to the Trump White House for dinner, I'm bringing a food taster. That's all I got to say. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, live from the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location on the right side of the orange curtain. 1-800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program, or email me. I check my email throughout the hour, and I will respond if need be. Sam at samnation.com. That's the email. Yeah, so guess who's coming to dinner? Yeah, Schumer and Pelosi. I wonder what they served. I have been looking for this because the dinner now, I presume, is over. It's 10 o'clock at night. If he hasn't shooed out Pelosi by now, it's definitely past her bedtime. But I tell you, I strongly suspect that this dinner is just an orchestrated attempt to get the Republicans to have a bit of FOMO. Now, if you aren't familiar with internet acronyms, that is a fear of missing out, FOMO. And that, I think, is, Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, sitting there and kind of just staring with a, glazed look out of his window and thinking, God, well, I would just wish I could be at this dinner. Martha McCallum on Fox News, she said so. She nails this. Exactly right. I heard this earlier today. Listen to this.
This dinner tonight, you've got, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell sort of watching this from the outside saying, that was us at that table. And now, there's a little bit of tough feelings going on here.
Feelings. Yeah, tough feelings. Right. The thing is that that Ryan and McConnell, by virtue of being Republicans, have presumed that their spot at that table was guaranteed. It was inherited. And Trump's play here is, I don't know, play. Let's not even start with that. I bet if I was Trump, I'd be looking at this and going, you dummies. I carried you. I won this election through no help from you. In fact, you bozos were telling me to drop out at every turn. You were telling me how inept I was. You fought against me. I lost. I won this election with a headwind not only from the Democrats, not only from the mainstream media, but also friendly fire from Republicans. And so the election happens, and almost instantly what occurs? The Republicans begin to act like, well, good, now we've got a Republican president, and by the way, we're going to teach him a thing or two about how to be president and how this whole thing works. And I think, on some level, believe that they could sit Trump down and say, now listen, Donald, here's how it's going to work. Here's how Washington operates. And Trump wants none of it. This, in my opinion, is very good political instincts. And interestingly enough, with a little bit of news from Rasmussen Reports, they did some polling on this. And they went out and they sample likely voters, and they bury, of course, they bury the samples, right? They don't necessarily tell you, is it 50-50 Republican, Democrat? A lot of polling definitely weighs Democrats heavier, so there's more Democrats in the sample. But what's interesting is that even when you take the Rasmussen Reports at face value and assume that, maybe there's an even sample there, there it seems to be that voters are welcoming this outrage. And the question that they asked, and this is what I think is interesting, is that they go, so is it good for the country if Trump works with congressional Democrats to advance his agenda? So the question that that Rasmussen went out and asked people when they conducted the poll wasn't, is it good that Trump's working with the Democrats? Because most people are going to answer, well, yeah, that's great. It's good stuff. But it's the question specifically has, is it good if Trump works with the Democrats to advance his agenda? And breaking it down to the Republican level, Republicans were even more enthusiastic than Democrats. So forget the big number. The big number was 66% of likely voters think it's good. That's a huge number. Two-thirds in the world of polling, when you get two-thirds, that's great. If a candidate is winning by two-thirds, I mean, it's in the bag. There's no electoral college nonsense, you know, didn't win the popular vote, BS. It's two-thirds. It's decisive. But interestingly enough, when they break it out and separate out Republicans and Democrats, here's what they got. Republicans were at 72%. They were enthusiastic, full on, about the president working with congressional Democrats. Now, why? Why is this? Yeah, I think I tell you, you know why? Because the people that voted for Trump hate congressional Republicans. To us, to many of us, these Republicans that have been sent to Capitol Hill to advance the agenda that they pretend to support every 2 years come election time, and they go to Washington and they engage in the same bipartisan nonsense that they do every time, and totally give up on their campaign promises. These are Judases. They're just traitors. And so when people who voted overwhelmingly, people who voted for Trump, you got to understand, they're people who wanted Washington to be shaken up. They wanted Washington to be changed. They saw Trump as a disruptor early on in the campaign. I was talking to a friend, well, also as a prominent media figure. And I was asking him, because he's a libertarian guy, he's not an ideologue. He's a libertarian, plays it straight, least amount of government, most amount of freedom, and he's generally a skeptic. And this friend of mine said, you know, I love Trump. I love the idea of Trump. This was far before the election. This was when we were still early in the primaries. And you know why? He goes, Sam, Trump is like we got a stopped up toilet. Washington, D.C. is a stopped up toilet. And Trump is like a cherry bomb that we're going to put in the stopped up toilet. We're going to blow it to smithereens. But in that process, we're going to sort of loosen the plug, if you will. How many people do you know that think that way, too? Maybe not exactly in those vivid terms, but you know a lot of people like that, including me. I want to see this sort of stale environment where no matter who wins the election, pretty much the same thing happens, where all these people protect themselves and line their own pockets. Everybody leaves Washington rich. You got, wait, Dirty Harry. Remember him? Yeah, the former Senate Majority Leader. He went in a whole life working in government, and he leaves a multimillionaire. Explain that. Not to me. It's just nuts. And people like him over and over again, Republican and Democrat alike. So Trump was a disruptor of this. And so when Republicans, Trump voters, Trump supporters are seeing Trump go basically stick his, you know, middle finger at Ryan and McConnell and invite Pelosi and Schumer into the White House and make buddy-buddy with them, they're not seeing Trump capitulating on any issue. They're seeing Trump stick it to the people that have been sticking it to them all these years. If you've ever voted Republican, you get mailers, okay? You vote, you get mailers. This is a normal thing. And you know it. Every 2 years, what do all the mailers say? Oh, we're against illegal immigration. We're going to put a stop to it. And we're going to lower taxes and lower regulation. And we're going to support the Second Amendment. Okay, so you go through this litany of enticements and promises. But they're promises, right? I mean, it's a campaign. They're promises. And then immediately, as soon as you elect these bozos into office, what happens? Gone. It's out the window. Because they go to Washington. And make no mistake about this. You go to Washington And even if, and let's say you're brand new, let's say we threw out the old corrupt guy and we've got the new guy to come in. And he comes in and now he's a little junior guy and he walks in. It's like first day of school, you know, remember high school, starting high school, first day. And there's the big seniors and they're walking, you know, and it's like that. You walk in and, they, and guess what? If you want to be in a committee, if you want to participate in anything, if you want any clout, you got to scratch my back. That's what they're told. First day, they got to scratch my back. You got to help me out. And pretty soon they're corrupted by that process because they're voting for bills that they normally wouldn't vote for. They become corrupted. Oh, it's the system. I'm doing this really for the greater good. They make compromises and they're done. The other part of it is they begin to believe the nonsense that the mainstream media says. Right? They begin to believe that if they aren't compassionate, if they don't have a heart, if they don't go along with the Democrats in helping people, that they are evil and that they're heartless and that they're basically Satan. And I mean, this is the argument, right? You hear us on the news all the time. Evil Republicans, heartless Republicans. But they begin to buy into it. And so in this bipartisanship, right, the greatest lie ever told is what? It's just bipartisanship means Republicans do what Democrats want them to. And that's it. And this is such an important topic right now, because what are we dealing with? We're dealing with big issues. Taxation, lowering taxation. This is something that Republicans want, centrists want. Business owners want, hardworking Americans want. This is an issue that ought to get done. Our tax code needs to be simplified. A majority of Americans aren't interested in illegal immigration and amnesty over and over and over again. Uh-uh. And yet, it's a tyranny by the minority, aided and abetted by a media that immediately slams you as being a racist and a homophobe and a bigot if you dare speak out against their nonsense. And I'm not, you know this. This is what happens. And it really is. It's a tyranny of the minority, because when polled, when the question goes out there, Americans overwhelmingly want to see fixes to these things, but neither party ever does. Because they protect themselves, they protect their own, they go along to get along, and they become cowed by a certainly an abusive media. And so when you're looking at this dinner, when you see this dinner and you're scratching your head and going, what the heck is Trump doing? What is this? This can't be good for him. Is he capitulating? I don't know. He might be. He might be capitulating for all I know. But the reason he's not losing people over it just yet is because it looks like he's putting his finger in the eye of a common enemy. And this is why the Republican Party is in such peril, because you have Republicans wanting to harm Republicans. You have Republicans out there in the wild, you and I, conservatives, who really are actually starting to be okay with the idea of imploding our own party, because our party has abandoned us. Our party has literally turned its back on us. And who are the standard bearers of the GOP establishment? McConnell? Ryan? Ryan's Priebus? I mean, these tell me how they're different from the Democrats. Ultimately, at the end of the day, they're not. And so if this is more than just a poke in the eye, if it is a strategic move, Trump is beginning to realize this. And he has to make the Republicans understand that they don't get a seat at the table for no good reason. That it's not an automatic place at the table. I like that. Because I think that there's a tremendous entitlement, an entitled feeling among congressional Republicans right now that they've got a president and they've got the president. The president's going to go along with them, and that they're the ones calling the shots. Wrong. They're the ones with the 10-15% approval rating. And Trump is the one, by the way, his numbers are going up again. He's heading into the high 40s. It's good. I mean, down from what was it, 32, 35. It's significant. So as you see these events, the important thing is to understand what they mean and why are they happening? And then we sort of have to sit here and kind of analyze what will the substance of this be? So the statement that Pelosi and Schumer issued about the wall is a little bit telling, and I think it potentially has a little bit of bad news in it. So let's go through that when we come back. Don't go anywhere. I will analyze all of this for you, step by step. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Details of the meeting, the now infamous dinner, the White House with Trump and Schumer and Pelosi, are slowly leaking out. We'll know a lot more tomorrow. But the statement that just posted right now is a little bit alarming, because the statement said, we had a very productive meeting at the White House with the president. Now, this is coming from Schumer and Pelosi. So remember, this is coming from one side. The discussion focused on DACA. We agreed to enshrine the protections of DACA into the law quickly and to work out a package of border security, excluding the wall, that's acceptable to both sides. This is not good, because in DACA, I see the opportunity for Trump to really leverage and get what he wants, or I presume what he wants for the wall, because DACA is such an emotional issue. The Democrats are all going crazy for it. Republicans are going crazy. Everybody wants to protect these poor innocent dreamers that were dragged to this country by their, by their parents and all this stuff. So it's an opportunity. It is leverage. If you've got people who don't want to give you something, the wall, congressional Democrats, congressional Republicans, right? They don't want to give you the wall. But you have the pen, right? You're the president. You have the veto power. You can, if they pass a bill and send it up to you and you don't sign it, it's over, unless they override the veto. So you've got leverage, and that leverage right here could be used to get him what he wants. And I'll say something else about this. For those of you listening and think, this is good, because really the thing about the wall, that wasn't really serious, and it really isn't what people want, and it's, this is good that Congress is restraining the crazy man, Trump. Okay. Trump will have a serious problem winning re-election in 2020 if he doesn't get a wall through fault of his own. Now, if he doesn't get the wall because he has fought for it every week of his presidency, and he has had Congress just say no, because Congress holds purse strings, right? The Congress has the power of the purse. So Congress can fund something or they cannot fund something. So Trump has a great excuse, right? If the wall doesn't get built, it's because Congress didn't do it and didn't give him the money for it. What's he going to say? I tried. And what'll happen in 2020 when he's running for re-election? He's going to he's going to hit the campaign trail and do a repeat of 2016. But his base will turn on him. Mark my words. His base will turn on him because this is a huge issue. I don't think that amnesty is feasible without any kind of guarantee that it's not just going to repeat itself over and over again. And you have most people acknowledge this, albeit they're careful not to, because talking about the wall means if you're pro-wall, you're anti-immigrant, right? That's the nonsense narrative that's being advanced. So, there could be a play here. This is just one side characterizing the meeting, and we'll know more tomorrow. And I'll get, as we learn more for tomorrow, by tomorrow night, I will come back and analyze this further. But I don't like this one bit. It doesn't matter. No. It doesn't matter what they had for dinner. It doesn't matter. They obviously talked a lot. And by the way, to some extent, if Trump is basically giving them DACA, if he's giving Pelosi DACA and giving it to Schumer with really minimum in return, how is that poking the eye of Senate Republicans? Congressional Republicans who basically want the same thing. I mean, they want DACA too, and they don't want a wall. You see what I'm getting at? Really, at that point, the only thing they're hurt about is the fact that they didn't get a free dinner. I guess that means something to you when you're in Washington, but. Anyway, and there was some talk of taxes. I want to talk about that when we come back after the break, because that does figure into this. He really wants a victory on taxes. Tax cuts. Okay, John Wolf up next with the news. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, here live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Home of the smartest listeners in Southern California. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
All right, welcome back. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC, here in the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location. On the right side of the orange curtain, 800-222-5222. Is the phone number. sam@samnation.com is the email. And all right, apparently some sort of deal has been made. It seems that in this dinner between Trump and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, maybe somewhere around dessert time, they came through and are talking about maybe allowing DACA to be traded. So the president's approval on DACA being traded for some sort of border protections, but not the wall. And my take on this is that Trump's giving up all of his leverage, all of his leverage. And I think that, you know, yeah, listen, do we have, I got a great example. Do we have Linda from Burbank on the line? Do we have Linda here?
Hello.
Linda.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the program. So let me ask you something first. I want to set the stage, because I think what you have to say here supports my theory. But I might be wrong, but let me ask you. Did you vote for Trump?
Yes, I did.
What was the issue, if there was one issue, you voted the wall?
Yes.
Plain and simple.
Yes.
What happens if Trump does not fulfill that promise?
I'll be furious.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe it.
Right now, from what you're saying, I'm already furious now.
Yeah, you're feeling it.
This deal. It should be the wall and no DACA at all. If there is any kind of DACA, you know, if Trump lets the Dreamers stay and works out something, I don't know what he's thinking, but in 2020, they'll vote him out. In 2020, maybe Eric Garcetti will run for president, and they'll vote him in, those Dreamers, those so-called Dreamers.
Don't frighten us. Don't frighten us. It's late at night. Look, I agree with you. I agree with you. So, Linda, let me just work through this here for a second. So the wall is a base issue now. Do you? I know you're in Burbank, so I don't know how many Trump supporters you fraternize with. There might be a few of them out there. So among your friends,
there's some around. Yeah.
Do they agree? Do they largely agree with you? Is the wall a big deal?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you're alone one bit. And you know why I know this? First of all, it was a big deal for me. Because I think that if you're going to talk of any kind of amnesty and call it pragmatic, you can't deport, you know, millions of people, you can't do it. If you're talking about amnesty as a practical thing, the only way, to me, it's just logic. The only way that you do amnesty is if you guarantee that you're never going to have that problem come back again. And there's only one way to guarantee is you build a giant frickin' wall. That's it. But the other part of this is, and Linda, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you listening to the program. And I agree with you. I think you're spot on here, because every time Trump does a rally, what gets the applause? It's the wall. And you're going to say, oh, but Sam, that's a select group. It's the people. It's his most diehard supporters. Yes, but he won because of them. He won because of them. These are the folks that have had politicians over and over again promise them immigration reform, air quotes around that, whatever you know that means. But what it meant to them is a stop to illegal immigration, and these politicians never delivered on it. So if Trump is a massive deal maker, I can be a pragmatic person. But in order to get the big things, the big ticket items, you can give up some of the other stuff. But this is a big ticket item. He cannot give this up. This will literally come back to bite him in a major way. All right, gotta go. Be back right after the Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. I'll talk about Sweet James in a minute. I have some news here. So there's multiple reports now coming out from the White House denying that any deal was reached to exclude the wall, let alone deal reached, period, on anything. DACA was discussed. Border security was discussed. Here is a tweet from Sarah Huckabee Sanders, White House press secretary. While DACA and border security were both discussed, excluding the wall was certainly not agreed to. So, to Linda and Burbank, breathe. All right. Well, no, I mean, but listen, Linda's point is well taken. And as I explained, if you go right now to see the reactions of influential conservatives and anti-establishment Republicans who have been traditionally pro-Trump, if you look at what they're saying, I mean, before this retort came out from the White House, I mean, people were losing their minds. I actually have a suggestion coming from Hillary Clinton. Can we it's not, I'm not mocking her. I think that if you are upset and feel that Trump is selling out, you might need to use a new technique, a calm down technique, pioneered by none other than Hillary Rodham Clinton, as described on Anderson Cooper 360 earlier this afternoon. Listen.
Page 27 in your book, you talk about alternate nostril breathing.
Yes.
What is that? And
oh my God,
dare you give me a demonstration
of
that?
Well, I would highly recommend it. Okay. You know,
please
I mean,
do.
You're supposed to shut
demonstrate.
Your eyes. I don't want to shut my eyes on national television. But you know, you do hold and you breathe through one, and you hold it, and then you exhale through the other, and you keep going. I can only say, based on my personal experience, that if you're sitting cross-legged on the yoga mat, and you're doing it, and you're really trying to inhale and hold it, and then have a long exhale, it is very relaxing. So I don't know if you can do it in the middle of hurricane coverage, but maybe some other moment you can try it. I found it quite helpful.
You found it quite helpful. By the way, first time a Clinton is admitting to inhaling. Well, I just thought that had to be said. A little bit of vintage 1992 for you there. That's it. She's literally on television putting her hand on one nostril, blowing it out the other. I mean, I can't even do it in front of a microphone, let alone, can you imagine on television? She's totally lost her marbles. And I love, this is journalism. I mean, Anderson Cooper's, like, he's talking to her as if this is serious. What a joke. Yes, this is CNN, the most trusted name in news. Now, Hillary, show us your nostrils and what you can, what magical things you can do with them. I can't. This kills me. I don't know. What kind of segue can I make to Sweet James? You won't need a breathing technique of any kind if you're represented by Sweet James, because he will have you completely at ease. That's my segue. How does that work? You don't. Look, if you get into a car accident, you have an injury, somebody hurts you, maybe you're using some kind of a blender and the thing blows up in your kitchen. You know those vapes? You know, you got some friend that vapes. It's annoying, right? They got the little box, but it blows up in their pocket. Have them call Sweet James Bergner. He's the lawyer that we trust here on this program to make you 100% at ease. You don't even need to drink Chardonnay to calm yourself. He'll handle your case. Now, you'll be blowing out of both nostrils and drinking Chardonnay at the same time if you're dealing with the insurance company on your own. Don't do that. Don't try to be your own lawyer. Let's be honest. You don't know what you're doing. Okay? Call someone that does. Attorney Sweet James Bergner, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Or, hey, go to his website. Check him out. He's got a great beard and a friendly look. You can see it on his website, sweetjames.com. And get some questions answered there, and just call him. If you've got a question, just talk to the guy. He's easy. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
All right, regardless of what happened at the meeting with Pelosi, Schumer, and Trump, if they made a deal on the wall or on DACA or whatever, Trump's denying it. But here's something important. And of course, I'm Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Just in case you're tuning in this very moment, we're covering breaking news out of the White House. The dinner wound up, and it seemed at first that Trump had given up on the wall, and now the White House is denying it. So that's what we're talking about. And this is live radio, so we're kind of getting into it as details are trickling out. I shared a live tweet that had just been sent out by Sarah Huckabee Sanders denying with the Democrats' version of the dinner. But anyway, I now will go back in time. Allow me to do this because I just retweeted moments ago during the break on the Sam Nation Twitter account that I curate and propagate on a daily basis. An old tweet of Trump's. And this is Donald Trump. By the way, he didn't start tweeting when he ran for office. You know, he was tweeting well before that. And here is what he sent out on, let's see, March of 2013. Amnesty is suicide for Republicans. Not one of these 12 million who broke our laws will vote Republican. Obama is laughing at the GOP. So, I would like to remind 2017 Donald Trump of 2013 Donald Trump, because he is absolutely dead right in that tweet. It's true that the illegal immigrant is not one, well, maybe one or two. But I mean, this the reason the Democratic Party wants illegal immigration is because, by and large, the more illegal immigration we have, the greater our poverty numbers are. This, by the way, is a fact. And the greater poverty numbers are, well, heck, the Democrats have something to run on. That's their shtick, right? We're going to give away money. You saw Bernie Sanders today. Free health care for everybody. Yeah. I mean, you saw, you, by the way, I recognize the fact that Bernie Sanders may well have won this election had he had an opportunity to run head to head with Donald Trump. Why? Well, people love free stuff. You know, when you go to one of those sporting events, things that I don't understand, and you're sitting there in the, what they call them, bleachers or the seats, whatever it is, and they have one of those furry mascot type poor suckers that's walking around in the suit, and they've got the T-shirt gun, you know, the T-shirt gun. And I'm always there in mortal fear that I'm going to get nailed in the head with one of those things. Anyway, so the poof, 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 they're shooting the T-shirts in the crowd. That is what the Democrats are like when it comes to giveaways and free stuff. This is what they are like in Congress. You know, they're just sitting there going, poof, 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 shooting, gifts out to the voters. And you know what? Voters fall for it all the time. And the poorer and more despondent and more isolated pockets of society that you have, the more likely they are to fall for the Democrats' agenda. So it's just all part of a plan. And I 2013 Trump needs to remember, needs to come. It's like the ghost of Christmas past. Yeah, he needs to, with Jacob Marley. What's his name? Jacob Marley. Yeah, he needs to come in and rattle some chains at 2017 Trump and say, Donald, don't do it. Don't give away the store. And for whatever I can tell you, build the wall. All right. We've had a fun show. It's been great. Wednesday is done and over. See you tomorrow, Thursday night. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.